You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Hey guys, so on today's episode, we are talking about figuring out your niche. Everybody always talks about niche, right? It's the thing every entrepreneurial mentor or guru out there says you need to do. Find your niche. But what does that actually mean? And how can we do this in a practical way? So I'm going to be sharing three steps that you want to take in order to finally identify or re-identify the right profitable niche for you and your business. All right, so welcome to episode number 5. I hope you guys are all having an amazing summer. We have been taking a lot of time off this summer already just to hang with our kids, visit family, go to some of our favorite places. We actually just got back from 2 weeks in the Adirondacks. My in-laws have a cottage there, so we go to the Adirondacks every single summer. So we did 2 weeks, which is amazing. My daughter went to a camp near there and she loved it. We did tons of swimming and hiking and boating and eating and sleeping and all of those good things, and just soaked it all up. So I hope you have been out there doing a lot of the same thing. One of the things that kind of was amazing while I was away on holiday was that even though I wasn't really working, like I had my computer with me, we had kind of spotty internet, and I did maybe like 30 to 60 minutes of work a day. You know, after the kids had gone to bed, I would just open up my laptop and check in on things I needed to check in on. I think I had one or two calls while I was away. That was it. But one of the amazing things was that we welcomed about 30 new students to my membership, the Passive Project membership, while I was on holiday, not doing anything, right? Like I wasn't on Instagram talking about it. I wasn't sending out newsletters. I wasn't doing any kind of launch. I wasn't doing anything. And yet we still welcomed about 30 new students. And that was all through the automated email funnel that I have set up that runs into the membership. And so if you want to do something similar with your product, whether it's an online course, it's a membership, you might sell digital templates, any kind of digital product that you sell, you need to make sure that you have an automated email funnel set up so that you can be welcoming new customers and clients all the time. So I want you to go below the show, in the show notes is a link to my free email funnel blueprints. And this guide shows you exactly how to create a high converting email funnel that will create sales for you and your business. It's a really incredible free guide. So make sure to download that. The other thing is, if you like this podcast, make sure to rate us and leave a review on iTunes. I would be so grateful. Snap a picture of yourself listening to today's show. Tag us on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. We would love to share that out with our audience on our stories. I always love to see who's listening and connect with you guys, so that would be amazing. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. We're talking about niche. And yes, I'm Canadian, so I say niche, not niche. But it's the same thing. Just go with me on this one, okay? Just, you know, get in tune with my Canadian accent and say niche with me. So what is the definition of a niche? So I actually looked this up on Google before hitting record today. And the definition that came up was denoting or relating to products, services, or interests that appeal to a small, specialized section of the population. And I thought that was actually a pretty good definition, right? To think of your business as wanting to target a small, specialized section of the population. That's exactly what niche really should mean to you. So if you're already in business, you probably already have a niche, right? But maybe it's not super well defined. Maybe you struggle a little bit with knowing exactly who you're talking to and exactly what kind of products you should be making for your audience. And if you're just starting out in business, well, then now is definitely the time to really think through this foundational kind of stuff before you dive in to, you know, creating products and really building your audience. You want to do this foundational stuff first. So what I want to do is go through three kind of main steps that you can be taking to really better identify the niche that your business is filling, okay? And whether you're new to business or you've been doing it for a while, these are all good steps for you to go through. And it's something that I think as business owners, we should, like, we all evolve, right? And so we should actually regularly kind of go through this process in our businesses. So the first step in terms of identifying your niche is to actually look inward. So this is going to be looking at your skills, your talents, and the natural abilities that you have. So like for skills, like what are you good at? What inherently comes naturally to you? What are the things that people always say about you? That can be like a really good hint to what your natural abilities are. It could be that like your natural thing is that you're a really good connector, like you're able to bring people together and build connections and create linkages. That could be something you're really good at. It could be that tech stuff is your natural ability. I know for my husband, that is where he falls. Like he is from a very early age, he was very like technically inclined. It could be that systems and organization, like that's your secret sauce. It could be, you know, how to utilize tiny backyards to create amazing edible gardens. Like that could be an amazing talent that you have. You could be really good at, say, motivating people, you know, in public, like giving presentations and being a motivational speaker. Like that, how can you use that in your business? So think through those natural abilities that come to you. And you can just brainstorm these out on a big piece of paper. So for me, when I really think about that, the things that first come to mind are things like I'm pretty good at thinking big picture. And coming up with strategy. I'm very organized. I've always been organized. Like even, you know, thinking not about my business, but even thinking of like myself when I did my home renovation, I was able to picture the after, right, of our renovation. We took a tiny little bungalow, knocked most of it down and built our sort of forever home a couple of years ago. And to a lot of people, that might have been a big scary thing. We were designing it all pretty much all ourselves. We were the general contractors for it. But it suited my skill set and my husband's skill set too. And, you know, I could see the big picture of it. I could see where we were going and I could see how to map out the steps to get there. And that's actually a skill. So, you know, that came up when I was renovating our house. And that's a skill that I use in my business all the time too, for my own business, but also helping others be able to see the bigger picture of their business and map out the steps in order to get there. So that's a natural ability for me. Now, if you're kind of sitting there thinking like, okay, how am I going to, you know, I don't really know what I'm good at. I've never really thought about it before. Here's a piece of homework for you. I want you to go and literally just ask your family and friends. Send them an email that says, you know, hey, can you help me with this? Like, what are five things that come to mind for you right away in terms of things that I'm really good at? And it might be surprising what you get back from people, things that you hadn't really thought about yourself before, but that are super obvious to the people around you. So I actually did this myself just in preparation for this episode because I was really curious to see what would come back. And so I just sent it to my husband and my mom, right? Like the two kind of closest people to me, but you could send it to your best friend. You could send it to your sibling, your cousin, like anybody really in your life. Maybe it's a colleague. So when I sent this to my husband, he wrote back right away with like five things here. Actually, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There was a sixth, but it was, that would be like husband and wife classified information. So anyway, the five that Dan, my husband, said that came to mind for him of things that I was good at. Number one was organizing. No surprise there. Number two was presenting. So whether it's like a workshop, a podcast, a video, anything in front of people, he said, you're good at being yourself, which makes it come off really naturally. Number three was my work ethic and dedication. Number four was my ability to deal with change and being quick to adapt. So like if something's not working, I'm quick at like, you know, trying something new, pivoting and moving on. And then the fifth one was understanding my skills and limits. So that he explained, like he was saying, this allows me to focus on the things that I'm good at and enjoy, and I hire out the rest. And that I focus on continual learning and professional development. And, you know, it's funny, the whole like understanding your skills and limits thing, like that's in business, sure, but it's also just in life. Like I'm really tidy. I like to have a tidy house. If any of you have like, well, either if you've been to my house before, or if you've ever popped over to my lifestyle blog, thesweetestdigs.com, you'll see that I'm decorate my house with like a very minimal aesthetic. And I really like to keep it that way, uncluttered and tidy and simple. But what am I not good at? I'm terrible at cleaning. Like it's not that I can't do it. I just really hate it. I can tidy and organize all day long, but I really don't like cleaning. So what was like one of the first things I hired out when it fit within our budget? Cleaners, right? They come every other week. It like makes my life so much better. Okay, that was a tangent. So those are the things that Dan wrote back. The things that my mom wrote back, and what's interesting is to see where there's overlap. So if you were to send this email to like five people, watch for the overlap in what they come back with, right? So my mom's, again, the very first thing at the top of my mom's, and this is the first thing on the top of my husband's too, organizing. She said, be it your work, the kids, the house, it's a skill that permeates your life. And I really think that this is part of what has led me to be a business strategist and business coach, is that I love organizing information and teaching in a really streamlined way. And the feedback that I've always gotten from my students is like, wow, you know, you really were able to make that so easy to understand and concise and in an easy to follow like method or format. And I think that's all due to my natural ability to organize. So it's not just organizing stuff. Like, yeah, sure, I love organizing stuff in my house. Give me some like a label maker and some canisters and I'm like a seriously happy lady. But it's also beyond that, right? It's about organizing information and being able to teach things in a certain kind of way. And that natural ability has, you know, done a lot for me. So the other things my mom said were planning, both long and short term, in detail and in general. She said communication. And again, that it was repeated like from my husband's one where he said presenting. My mom said networking is another natural skill of mine. The other one was listening to people and focusing on what they're saying and then coming up with good suggestions. She said, I also have a really good imagination. I think outside the box. I go beyond the norm. She says, I get the job done well and efficiently. So again, that's like my husband's about work ethic and stuff and dedication. Those are kind of repeated. She said, my sense of design and the fact that I'm a great mom. Of course, my mom is going to say that. But anyway, this is a really important exercise for you to do if you're struggling with kind of figuring out what your natural abilities are, right? You are the only you in the world. So there might be thousands of other businesses like yours, but your business will always be unique because of you. You are that like uncommon denominator. So figure out where your natural skills and abilities are and weave that in to your business niche. So that was step number one, looking at your skills, your talents, and your natural abilities. And you may have things there that you wouldn't even think about turning into a business, but they actually are. Like there's a seed for a business in almost any like skill or talent that you might have. So really think through that. This next step, step number two, once we've kind of identified those things, is to do your research. So your niche needs to A, exist, B, be profitable, and C, be narrow. Those are like the three things. It needs to exist, be profitable, and be narrow. So this is where I want you to dive in and research the competition. This is going to do a few things. Like, first of all, it's going to let you know if the niche exists. Second of all, it's going to give you an idea of the potential for profit. So you, of course, want to choose a profitable niche. We don't want to be creating a product for a target population that really doesn't have the funds to spend on a product, right? Like, that's just not going to get you anywhere. You're not going to make any sales. So for instance, if I'm creating like a high end or some course for brand new college students, that might not be a great choice because brand new college students tend to be pretty tight in terms of their budget. So you want to think about who you can potentially target with your business and whether they truly have the funds to invest in your products. So what you can do is go to Google and kind of just start making a big list of players in this space that you're researching and take a look at what kind of products they're selling and how much are they selling them for. You can, what I do is make an Excel sheet or Google Doc sheet or whatever, and just keep like a running list. So that's on Google. You might also look on Amazon, right? That's a really good place to look. Often when we look on Amazon, what you can do is scroll down and look at the reviews, because typically the more reviews something has, the more purchases it has. So that's letting you know that that is a niche where people are purchasing products. So the thing about doing the research here is that you can't build a business on passion alone. Like, that would be lovely. And of course, you do need to be passionate about your topic, but you can't let that blind you into thinking that there's a business opportunity where there might not actually be one. And I think this happens a lot to people when they're starting their business, right? Is they're going just based on passion, but there's not actually a viable business opportunity there. So beyond kind of Google and Amazon and checking out like other products, you may also look on Instagram, like follow, you know, go down the rabbit hole of like looking at hashtags and seeing what other folks are in this space. The other thing you can do is hop into some Facebook groups and see what are like, how big they are, what questions are being asked about your potential niche. You can look at other kinds of forums, like really anywhere where people are asking questions. That's going to give you a sense of like, A, what the questions are about your niche or your topic, but also B, is there a lot of demand in that topic? And the thing about competition is that it's a good thing. Like, we want competition because that shows us that there is a market for our business idea in that niche, right? So competition is a good thing. Don't let yourself think that because there's competition, it means that you shouldn't dive in feet first into this topic. And secondly, as you're looking at the competition, what you can think about is, okay, how can I differentiate myself, right? Like, how can I put my unique spin and bring my natural abilities to the table here in a new way that's going to feel a bit different? Like, for me, for my business at GemmaBonhamCarter.com, there are tons of other like online business strategists and coaches out there, tons of them. But what can I bring to the table that's different, right? Because, okay, I might talk about these certain topics, but lots of other people talk about those topics too and have success in them and are just as like, you know, it's just as valid for them to be teaching them as it is for me to be teaching them. But how can I bring those natural abilities and skills to make myself different? So like, one of the things that, you know, the piece about like being organized, that's like a natural ability I can bring to differentiate my own stuff. But also, I try to be as relatable as possible. And so for me, that's actually a part of my business model, is like, I just want to be this really relatable person. If you are like a fellow entrepreneurial mom, like we probably relate, right? Like, you know what the nap time hustle is like with small kids at home. I can relate to that with you. You know, we can chat about that. And, you know, the other thing that I relate to a lot of people with is like this desire for having freedom in my life, freedom with my time, financial freedom, freedom to hang with my family when I want to. I don't want to be working 80 hours a week, you know? And so that relatability sets me apart from some of the other business strategists and coaches out there in my, you know, in my niche. So think about that for yourself. How can you differentiate from the others in terms of in your competition? The other thing while you're doing this research is to definitely make note of the prices people are paying for competitive products or offers. So this is going to give you a really good indication of how much you can charge for your product. If you're seeing that others are charging, you know, in the range of like, let's say it's an online course and they're charging in the range of like $200 to $500. Well, that's giving you a really good sense of what you can charge in that marketplace too. If you're seeing, you know, major swings in the prices, like make note of that. That's going to be important information for you to know when you go to price your product. And pricing is kind of like a tricky thing. You know, you don't want to, it's this whole complicated thing of people being like, charge what you're worth, but you also need to charge like what the market says is the appropriate price. And really the more painful the problem you're helping somebody solve, the more you can charge. So for instance, let's like take an example here. Let's say you've created a course, an online course on decorating. Okay. That's a problem people have, right? Maybe you're like, maybe it's a more specific course than that. Because just a course on decorating would be pretty vague, but let's, you know, that is a problem, but it's not super painful, right? Whereas let's say you are, you have a course on helping, I don't know, business owners, figure out their taxes or something, right? That is a very painful problem for business owners. Like, they really need help with that. There's like a timely nature to that because we all owe taxes every year. And that's a problem that a lot of business owners would be like ready and willing to invest in because it's a very painful problem. So you want to think about the pain, the amount of pain that, and I'm not saying physical pain, but you know, like struggle or obstacle that your audience is feeling. The more you're solving a really painful problem for them, the higher your price can be. Does that make sense? So all of that research piece is really important. And, you know, kind of the last thing I want to say around that is how important it is to niche down in order to grow fast. And although you may look at others possibly in your same industry who may be talking about lots of different subject matters or, you know, topics or whatever, you want to remember that the more you can niche down early on, the faster you'll grow. And you, sure, later down the road, when you're, you know, when you have a huge audience, by all means, open up the top, like the topics that you're talking about. Absolutely. Because you've already gathered that, you've already built that audience that like loves you and trusts you and is engaged with you. So you can open the door to talking about more topics. But when you're in your earlier stages of business, stay niched, stay focused, because it is going to propel you forward faster. You're going to build your audience faster, I promise. For instance, so there's this woman, Jennifer, Jennifer Priest, who I met in a program, and she, you know, has a couple of different Instagram accounts. And one of her Instagram accounts is about like home decor, lifestyle stuff, right? It was broad and general. Then she created an Instagram account just specifically about craft rooms, like, you know, craft, little craft spaces, rooms in our houses, right? Just pictures of those. Well, that Instagram account went bananas, grew super fast, way faster than her other accounts because it was so niched, right? So that's just like a really good example of niching down to grow fast. Another example is a friend of a friend. I love following her on Instagram. Her name is Sarah Jane Case, and she has her own Instagram account, which is great, but she also got really kind of interested and like obsessed with the Enneagram, which is a personality test. And she created an Instagram account called Enneagram and Coffee. And that account, again, way more niched, right? You're talking about one specific personality test. And she created an Instagram account around it. Well, that Instagram account also absolutely blew up. Like, it is huge. I'll make sure to link to both of these Instagram accounts in the show notes so you can check them out. But it's just an example. And she, you know, I don't know the whole business monetization plan behind both of those Instagram accounts, but the potential there is amazing. So just two really good examples of how important it is to stay really narrow and niched and focused in order to grow faster. So think about that with your own topic. How can you drill down even more so that what the content you're creating is really, really specific? The products that you're creating are really, really specific. Okay, so that was step two in our kind of three steps to niche or whatever we want to call this. Step number three is around testing. Now, if you are a student of mine or you've like heard me talk before about this stuff, you know that I love to be data driven in my business. And I think it's really important that all of you be data driven in your business too, so that you can be making really smart decisions about how you spend your time, about what products you should be creating and what activities you should be pursuing next. So when you're first starting out, or if you're veering into a new niche or something like that, the first thing that I would really do is just put out a lot of free content and just, you know, put lots of stuff out there, whether your format is like, whether it's blog posts, podcast episodes, YouTube videos, freebies, like lead magnets, whatever it might be, however you're connecting with people. Put a lot of free content out there. This might be on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And then from that, look at the data. So put out the free content and watch what is resonating the most with people. So what lead magnets are getting the most subscribers? What social media posts are garnering the most attention, getting the most comments and feedback, right? You can be on Instagram and use polls and questions and really engaging things in your Instagram stories in order to elicit feedback from your audience. So you might be sitting there and you might be feeling like impatient, right? You don't want to test because you just want to get to the money-making part and selling part of your business already. But if you put the time in here, like the more time you put into this testing phase, the more you're going to be rewarded later. And the easier your sales will be because you have really understood your audience, you've understood what's resonating with them, and you've understood where their problem is, so you can create a product that solves it. So, you know, for me, for instance, I was getting a lot of questions about digital products, about email marketing, about funnels, about that kind of stuff. And I listened to it, right? Like I created my membership, the Passive Project, this year in 2019, because I was getting so many questions from my audience about those specific things. And it was clearly a pain point that they were struggling with. Similarly, with my other business at thesweetestdigs.com, I have an online shop with that business. And I went with that shop, I threw so much at the wall, right? I created tons of different products. Like if you look at the sort of different iterations of my shop over time, like there are just, I have tested so many different things. And what really stuck was once I started creating apparel, like t-shirts and sweatshirts and that kind of stuff, that really resonated with other women who like essential oils, because I like essential oils. I give recipes and things like that on my blog. And I'm like really crunchy and into like everything homemade in my house and all natural and toxin free and good for the earth and all this kind of stuff. And when I created apparel related to that, whoa, like the conversion went way up. People really resonated with it and it really stuck. And so I was able to see that and niche down even further and create more products like those in my store, right? So the more that we can test things and then be driven by the data, it's going to help you really truly understand your niche in a better way. So that was step three. And so here's the thing, like, even if you're sitting there and you have a business already, you've been doing something for a while, it is never too late to shift or to pivot in your business. Like, I was actually just looking at somebody's Instagram account the other day, and I noticed just within her Instagram account, I didn't even have to go any further than that, that she used to be a website theme creator. Like, I think she created WordPress themes for websites. And she shifted to being a mindset coach. And it was very clear, even within the top, I don't know, like, I didn't have to scroll very far down to see this big pivot that she had made in her business. And here's the thing, like, people can leave, right? If they're no longer interested in what you're talking about, they'll leave. It's not a big deal. Like, it's life. Everybody gets it. You know, maybe if you get one sort of comment from somebody who's like annoyed that you're not talking about what you used to talk about, well, let's just not worry about it, right? Like, they can find that elsewhere. Nobody really, I mean, this, I don't mean this to come across in like a harsh way, but nobody cares about your business as much as you do. So, you know, don't feel like you have to stay in something because that's where you started. It doesn't matter. Like, every business evolves as it grows, and that is okay. You do not feel like you have to stay stuck in one thing just because that's where you started. I have certainly pivoted in both of my businesses in really major ways, and that's totally fine. It's natural. So, like, you know that quote from Einstein says, like, it's insanity to keep doing something the same way and expecting different results. Like, if you're in your business doing the same thing all the time and you're not seeing the results you want, well, stop doing the things that you keep doing, right? Like, maybe it's time to think bigger picture about your business. Maybe it's time to make a shift. So what I want you to do, if you haven't already done this, maybe you're listening to this podcast episode in the car, on a walk or something, but when you have a minute, grab a notebook and a pen. I'm old school like that. I always like doing everything by hand. I mean, maybe you want to do this on the computer, whatever, and just start mapping it out. Like, the more clear you are on your niche and how you serve people, the easier it's going to be to know that ideal customer, know what to offer them, and even getting into things like writing sales page and writing email copy. Like, all of that's going to become so much easier and it's going to flow. It all starts there with those foundational pieces. Like, when that foundation is out of whack, everything feels harder to do because you don't really know who you're talking to, what you should be creating, and what you should be doing, right? So think through those three steps that we went through. Look at your natural skills and abilities, do your research, and start testing, okay? That was a really great episode, you guys. I'm so thankful for you being here and listening. Make sure to come follow me on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear what your big takeaways are from this episode. Snap a picture of yourself listening, tag in the stories. I would love to share it with my audience. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, leave a review. I would, like, seriously give you some major a virtual hugs and kisses for that. And don't forget to go grab the free email funnel blueprints. We have linked to it below. That's going to be your free guide. I think it's like 13 or 14 pages. It's pretty epic. And it takes you through exactly how to create an automated email funnel to sell your digital products. I swear, it's like my best freebie out there. So thank you so much for listening. And in next week's show, if you're wondering what a day in the life of a full-time entrepreneur mama looks like, that is what we are diving into. So on next week's show, I'm going to take you along in a day of the life of me. So my routine, how I squeeze in my work, time with family, self-care, and make it all work. Mostly, most of the time, right? Sometimes there's an off day, but I'm going to take you through what a day looks like. So that is next time on the Passive Project Podcast. See you then.